It was an unyielding summer around our house. Not much time for camping and the normal summer activities.
We lost a couple of family members to cancer. Two special ones right in a row. Two funerals in a week. It wasn't fun. So as August fought to become September, and my teacher's spouse headed back to her job, the kids and I suddenly had the whole week before school started staring us in the face. One last chance at summer, after all we had been through. It wasn't that we were going to be together. It's just that we had that much time together. One whole week of summer, just the three of us. I've paddled with my kids quite a bit, but it's all been local. Around the bay at sunset, a quick trip to the frog pond, nothing extensive. So the thought of a trip together, just the three of us, sounded like a good idea. In fact, it sounded like a great idea to everyone involved. We were all in. To be perfectly honest, I was a little apprehensive. Not sure about making it across some of those lakes on our planned route under super windy conditions. Or maybe it's just that I wouldn't be able to keep up with the normal pace we were used to. I had to tell myself, over and over, that we just have to take it slow, set small goals, and be content with whatever happens. Take it slow, small goals, be content. This isn't easy for someone who likes to go. By mean go, I mean move. On Boundary Waters trips, I can say we like to make loops, like the change of scenery. This is true in my life in general, I'd say. It's both a blessing and a curse. Seeing new scenery every day keeps the trip fresh, but leads to coming home from a long trip tired. Tired but feeling strong, that's how it is. It was good timing, though, this planned time away. The world is making my head a little noisy. All the responsibilities, the lists, being on time. This doesn't even include all those things in the world that are wrong. The subjects that are hard to understand, like unnecessary war or being hungry. These things can weigh me down, and I carry them with me. It's part of who I am. Reflecting a bit, I do conclude that the physical part of wilderness travel does help me clear my head. Helps to quiet the dialogue the world throws at me in my daily life.
What sort of democracy for what sort of world?
Why did you have to leave?
How could I have been so stupid?
Why does it always take so long?
Why do you put up with me?
How do I know what's true?
What?
When will I know if I'm a good father?
What are you afraid of?
Was it worth it?
Where is my mind?
Is history bound to repeat itself?
Do you still love me?
Is there something I should know?
Why is it so hard?
What have I done to deserve this?
After a couple days of planning and packing, we loaded our canoe and pushed off from the landing. It took the three of us a while to get into a rhythm together, but soon we were on our way, and the kids were looking over their shoulder, proud of how far we had gone. It was dandy, sitting there in the stern of the canoe watching my kids, two halves of me, getting into the rhythm together, working together as a team. Thoughts of tough stuff melted away, and I began to notice more of the details in life that normally slip by when I am busy. Inside the canoe, I noticed the way my 9-year-old daughter's ponytail stuck out of her hat, and how her feet have gotten bigger. How my son's biceps and triceps are getting more defined, and soon he'll be asking to carry the canoe. It was like I was watching them grow up right in front of me as the lakes slipped by, one after another. Brule, Temperance, Cherokee, Gordon, and Frost. Each lake, kids looked a little bigger and more mature. Outside the canoe, I noticed some things that I had been overlooking also. Details lost in the business of day-to-day life and schedules. Simple beauty in the coloring of the trees, how I could start to see the leaves changing. How was it that a group of trees were growing out of a crack in the rock? And I chuckled at how I have trouble even keeping houseplants alive. The truth in the pull of my paddle against the water. How in that movement there is no cheating, no cutting a corner, pulling you move forward. It's simple, and it can't be further reduced. It's true and real. So it's with this passage of time that I wondered what could possibly be on the mind of a child as we move through this beautiful Boundary Waters world. So I just asked. My son first. I spend time thinking about what the next portage is going to be like. My daughter followed with, I just think about paddling the canoe. It was in hearing her the first time, that I had an immediate adult response, assuming that she wasn't trying very hard to answer me. But then it hit me. As young as she was, she had understood my question, and I had not. It was truly all about paddling the canoe. Boundary Waters travel is about slowing down, about resting, yet working hard. It's about thinking about something other than everything else. True words from a 9-year-old. The rest of our trip was good. We heard wolves, looked at the stars, swam in roasted marshmallows. We went to sleep with lightly sunburned cheeks and sore shoulders. We got up and we worked. We paddled and portaged our way through whipped, mora, gabby, jasper, alpine, and seagull. And so it was, as we rounded the corner and saw people for the first time in 5 days, that I told myself, when I am really feeling tasked and overstretched, down when I should feel up, that I will have to remind myself in the cold months ahead that there will be another summer, there will be other moments, and it may be time to just paddle the canoe. This is Steve Ramberg, with a Gunflint notebook for WTIP.